Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show. This is day four of the Cheltenham Festival. We are previewing Gold Cup Day. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined, as I have been for the previous 3 days, you can find wherever you find this show, Johnny Ward, Andy Holding and Egg Quigley. We've done our pleasantries in other shows. We've spoken about the weather elsewhere, so I think we're just going to get straight into the racing. But before we do, just going to point you in the direction of the Odds Checker app. This is where you can find the best prices, booking offers, free bets, place terms and Andy Holding's tips. As well as other tips to straight to the app every morning of racing. We are at the Surprise Pub in Chelsea, where you could rent out this lovely private room. They've got a TV behind there, so come here and watch the racing. They've been very accommodating to us throughout the day, so thank you to them. The Triumph is the opening race on day four. Sugino is the 8-11 favourite as it stands. Majbra, 6-1. Carguess is 8-1. Stormheart, 10-1. Salvatore Mundi, 12-1. Salva, 14-1. Nürburgring 16-1, 18-1 bar. And Andy, I'll come to you first because it feels like we've spoken about this race quite a lot over the last few months. And a horse in particular, Nürburgring, is one that you were keen on a few weeks ago. Is that still the case now?
Yeah, massively, even more so in the build-up to the race. Very much flying under the radar, in my opinion, Nürburgring. Particularly in a race now that kind of revolves around one horse, Sugino, but he comes from a stable at this moment in time, a little bit perhaps under a cloud. There's talk about on the grapevine that Sugino hasn't been, you know, missed 10 days work and hasn't been on song for a little while now. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm just going on gossip a little bit. But you've got the whole week, if you're dealing with this race on the Friday, and that's the first time you're going to have a bet in it. I've seen how Nicky Henderson's horses have reacted over the week. Yeah. If they've had an absolute nightmare,
yeah,
this one's going to go off 6-4, 7-4, rather than looking down a barrel of 8-13, 4-6 now, which I think is an absolute terrible price. I mean, he's a very good horse, Gene. I remember doing the work on this horse, funny enough. Bloodsuck agent of mine got me to look at an old toy card back in April or May it was. So he wanted to know how this horse had shaped on the numbers. So I did all the circuit times and what have you and said, oh, yours is pretty good. I said, but the best race on the card was Sugino when he beat Salvador Mundi. And we had that conversation in our... sort of preview early on in the season, didn't we? And I said, keep your eye on Sugino and Salvador Mundi. Like a complete nutter fool, I haven't got an absolute bean on Sugino.
Salvador Mundi's still in the race.
Yeah, though. Yeah. And the word on the street now is Salvador Mundi. He's almost coming off the subs bench here to perhaps run. So he might be a player. But I think this race has got quite a bit of strength in depth. I mean, Sugino was incredibly impressive when he won at Cheltenham. I mean, you haven't seen a horse power up the hill like that for a long time, particularly a juvenile. He's a right unit as well. I mean, I remember seeing him in the Praven and looking at him compared to Burdett Road. A lot of chalk and cheese. He's like Stan and Ollie. It's quite incredible. But he's a proper operator. I think, whatever happens to Gino, has got a bright future. But whether you want to back him at the price he's now is down to personal choice. I think Nürburgring, like I say, is going to outrun his odds. He's come out of the fastest time figure that we got early on in the season when he beat Carlo Conti. On the day when he beat Carlo Conti, the front two would have beaten or did beat comparatively Tiupu and Farron Glory, the two of the grade ones on the card on the final circuit, which is unheard of for a juvenile race. There were 18 lengths clear of the rest. And the race he ran in last time out was the complete opposite, the one that Carguess won. They crawled in that, absolutely crawled in it. And it just didn't suit him. And he hit the line really hard that day, and I was left thinking even more of him that day when he lost rather than his victory. He's been saved specifically for it. He's going to be suited to the new course, that long gallop from two out to the line, because all he wants to do is gallop. He jumps well. He'll handle any ground. I think Nürburgring is shaping up to be one of my sort of like quietly confident picks of the week. I just wonder actually with Sugino whether the execs there will have a Dexys Midnight Runners song in the background rather than the Gladiator one. You could just imagine him coming in and they played duh, 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 and everyone going, oh, Nicky Gino, oh, Gino.
Amazing.
If you're watching,
karaoke go-to.
I think they should play that rather than the Gladiator one.
It would be amazing if they do, I think, of you, Andy. Ed?
Hard to find an angle in personally. Yeah. Nature of the beast, yeah. Instinctively I'm like, 4-6, a bench, a juvenile, and a whole host of unexposed, could be anythings. But for all that, Sugino's got the course form, did it very nicely last time, et cetera, et cetera, everything. And he's got a touch spot.
Very nice, he's an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah, he bolted up, he did. But then hence he's 4-6, stable cloud, et cetera, potentially, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Joker in the pack here, I'll be interested, if he ran, I would back him because he jumped deplorably last time out. But High Wind looked really smart on debut, the way in which he absolutely walked through the last flight, picked up and went away again. And I thought looked an individual some promise. You know, Ruby Walsh was kind of talking him up as one they thought would get to the top of the pecking order amongst the juveniles with Inclus Sutton. Last time out in that Cargese race at DRF, jumped deplorably. Really was bad. Rachel Blackmore was on board, missed two down the back straight, started to make up some ground, turning into the, just as the business end of proceeding was starting to pick up, clattered through another again. So clearly jumping the problem, but this did cut up to a smallish field. I think the new course and the galloping track will suit this horse, who's clearly got a lot of ability from the flat. Could be an absolute monster price and could go well to hit the frame. So yeah, one I'm lukewarm on. I expect Sugino to win, all things being equal. If High Wind runs, it will be a sign of that his schooling has improved 20-fold. Willie Mullins wouldn't bother bringing him over. So he's another asterisk horse. Sugino, I think, will get the job done. And then he's, where they go next year with him is going to be the most exciting thing, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. High Wind, 33-1 with 365, Hills, 888 Sport, Unibet, and a couple of other firms as well. Johnny, how are you seeing the Triumph, the opening race on Friday?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to kind of repeat what the guy said about Sugino, and his price will definitely vary depending on how Nicky's week is going. Very much my type of the race. I thought I'd be putting up this horse at a much bigger price, as I did the last day. Ethical Diamond, like, I was at Limerick when this horse won in the flat. He did not, a race most rating that day of 96 for a small yard. Mm. Now, I'm not saying I know much about the O'Mara yard in terms of how good or bad he is as a trainer. He's obviously well able to train winners. But stable switch to Willie Mullins, a horse that stays a mile and a half on the flat. The first day he ran in Leopardstown, the ground was appalling that day. I couldn't have him. And that race literally put a line through. He then rocks up straight into a grade one. I had my eye on this horse, a Fred Winter horse. He didn't qualify for the race. The last day, didn't jump well at all. Was looked after, shall we say, in a race that was dominated by the yard, and was beaten about five lengths. He's massive, massive upside coming here if they've schooled him, and he can jump well enough off what will be a strong pace. For me, he's one of the horses I'm really, really looking forward to running this week, where I'd say he will, of all the people doing preview nights, I'd say maybe 2-5% of people in this race, maybe even less, would actually put him up. And I like that when you're looking at something that maybe others aren't seeing. I know Andy saw him because he was on to me straight after the race the last. Mm. He was like, look at the way that horse finished. It's almost more pertinent to look at the way he jumped. He's so much improvement to come.
Ethical Diamond, 20-1. I mean, do you think because, as you say, won't be well fancied, it's a case of wait till the day you could get bigger than the price now?
And just see the Sugino form, see how that works out in the Fred Winter, because obviously the third is going to run in that, and see if he bolts up, that's a massive. I have a feeling Bird Ever Old wasn't quite at his best the last day. He was very, very flat coming up the hill. Andy said obviously he's a flat horse by by Muta here or whatever. He's a very different type to Sugino, but he probably shouldn't get much shorter. Ethical Diamond, like on what he's done over hurdles, he should be about 50s. For me, it's obvious there's a lot more to come from this horse.
On to the County Hurdle now, the second race on the card on Friday, where King of Kingsfield is the 13-2 favourite ahead of Iberico Lord at 8-1, but Iberico Lord has been supplemented for the Champion Hurdle. So these are all non-runner, no-bet prices. Absurd, 11-1. Lourdes Sud, 12-1. Under Control, 12-1. Zenta, 14-1. As is Biali Stock and Pied Piper and Lisnagar Fortune, 16-1. So Scottish, Risk Bell, Lump Sum, Westport Cove and Magical Zoe, 18-1, bar those. Ed, what wins the county?
I've got a bit of a boil over horse in here. Alan King doesn't really have anything going at Cheltenham other than Edwardstone. It's got a fascinating sort in here called Favour and Fortune, who's actually been left in the Supreme at the six-day decks. I think that's probably a bit optimistic, given he's 1-3-8. But he's a horse, I think he's got a lot of raw ability. He actually ran in last year's Champion Bumper, but got absolute. He was a sweaty mess in the prelims. That would be a slight worry, but he seems to be really growing into himself this season. Dotted up in two absolute nothing races at Hereford and Wetherby over hurdles. But then ran an absolute storm in that Grade 1 on bad ground on Boxing Day, went just touched off by Django Bay. Of course, Nicky Henderson's, you know, the horse, the race Far and Glory fell in, etc., etc. Now, you can argue perhaps the form hasn't worked out all that well. And then chased home, fun last time out when beaten a half a length. But going into handicap coming, I think it really suits him. He's a horse, he's not being suited by these heavy ground, slowly run kind of 6-7 runner contests or 3-runner contest as it was last time out. I think an end-to-end gallop off 1.38, I think he could be one of the home team who actually runs a big race at a price, if you see what I'm saying. He was, they say his bumper form last year, champion bumper apart, looked pretty good. I mean, that Warwick run was scintillating when he just rocked up and destroyed the field. And I just get a feeling that there's a lot of upside to him off his mark. I think drying ground by the end of the week would probably really suit him. I know he's a soldier of fortune and he clearly handled heavy ground. But speaking to Tom Cannon, he said it's not necessarily the ground. It's more of a case when we get heavy ground, they all just seem to crawl and then it becomes a dash and he's a bit keen and he won't switch off. I think he will be switched off 20-runner race, almost very similar to why King of Kingsfield would be suited in the race. I think for the same logic, but he's obviously 4 times the price or whatever. So, yeah, I'm not saying he's going to go and win it, but again, each way, I think he's around 33s, 28s.
25 to 1.
25s now, yeah, he's just been nibbling a bit, but he's my each way play in the county. I think Alan King said himself, he doesn't bother the days of social runners at Cheltenham now. His owners just do not bother.
Yeah.
He won't bring him to the meeting unless he thinks he's got a realistic chance. Kind of Kim Bailey saying, I'm going to run 2 all week and in the same race. So,
How have we gotten to this?
This is for our Royal Ascot Time documentary. Mm. But Favour and Fortune, if he lines up in the county each way, I think he's not without hope.
Favour and Fortune, 25 to 1 with Coral and VBET. Andy?
Ed's quite neatly mentioned one of the ones I'm mildly keen on here, Favour and Fortune. Look, I'm a big fan of Alan King. I think he's a terrific trainer, but his Cheltenham record's not overly good. It kind of like tempers my enthusiasm a little bit. Some of his telling me stats, something like 1 from 133 or something like that in recent times, which is almost like head scratching stuff, isn't it?
It sounds like it's about time for a winner.
Absolutely, yeah. But 20, I mean, this is can't be 25 to 1. Mm. If it runs here, I mean, he's just too good. I mean, he actually comes out really well on the numbers at Weekend, based on his run behind the thing in Nicky's in that grade one.
Django Bay.
And he should have won the other day. He just got tactically outridden on that occasion by Fun. But the ground is definitely the key to him. He wants nice ground. He'll handle soft, but he's a better horse on good ground. I mean, when he won around Hereford, he flew around that day. He's a talented horse. He's off 1.38. Mm.
He's me thinking he'd be actually pooping in this. Yeah, no, he's a massive prize.
He's just, I mean, he cannot possibly be 20. If he runs, he'll be 10s.
Alan King, I saw the statement saying they're not ruling out the Supreme.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a busted flush in that either, to be honest.
But I think this would be off 1.38 would be much more feasible.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And the other one is the obvious one, King of Kingsfield. Again, another strong travelling group, grade one placed Irish horse that how he's got in off 1.40, I'll never know. I mean, he was 1.40 going into his last race behind Ballyburn, and the ground was against him. He was giving everything a head start. He was held up at the back, and yet he still comes out of it off 1.40. The English handicapper hasn't adjusted him either. I thought, you know, retrospectively, he might put him up to whatever he might have put him up at. I mean, I don't know how much you give them or whatever. Sometimes they go at him with a sledgehammer. But he's somehow come out of 1.40. I mean, it's beggar's belief. They were trying to ride him from the front early on in the season, and he was getting beat by horses like Slade Steel and Far and Glory. But when they've held him up, he's looked a totally different proposition because he's got a hell of a lot of speed, and this track will really suit him. So it's boring, but I think King of Kingsfield is
good
just
thing.
Got to be there or thereabouts, along with Favour of Fortune if he runs.
That 13-2 is the Star Sports, but they are not non-runner, no bet. So be wary there. 6-1.
He's almost certain to run here. I'd be amazed if they didn't run him in this.
6-1 best price with a few firms. If you wanted to have that security, just going to check what price on the 8.2 on the exchange at the moment. So a bit bigger without the insurance there. On to the
album. I didn't do mine actually,
Johnny. Yeah, sorry.
Because I'm just going to be really good on this one.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Go. No, we're going to keep that in because
looks better like that.
Yeah.
isn't this the race that Stateman won, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is my theory anyway, I may be wrong. After that race, the handicapper's like, that's not going to happen again. So they brought in this kind of waffly rule that I think you have to run in 4 hurdle races to run the handicap out of the... To run in this race and handicaps for hurdlers, I think you have to have run 4 hurdle races. But that hasn't stopped some very lightly raced hurdlers trained by Gordon and King Kingsfield or Quad de Bourbon with Willie and these horses who are kind of entered in other races getting in. I'm going to put 2 against the field here. King Kingsfield for all the reasons that Andy mentioned, and Encanto Bruno as well. He was so good here the last day. I'm not exactly sure why he's been disappointing since. One was a grade one, so I'd forgive him that. The last day was a desperate ground at Leopardstown. But the horses that Gavin Cromwell has mentioned, Velvet Elvis earlier, from these colours that he's gotten, have done extremely well. And this horse, who ran the Cheltenham Bumper last year, has a lot of upside. They're my 2 against field.
He's my Martin Pipe tip if he runs. Mm. I know he's just said he's kind of 50-50. Well. Good ground, Cheltenham. He's got a very good record.
Yeah.
He's definitely on the shortlist, We're all agreeing. What's going on?
Encanto Bruno, 25-1. Paddy's, Betfair Sportsbook, Coral, and a couple of others as well. Now, we will move on to the Albert Bartlett. And Andy, I'll be coming to you first. Thanks to your insight you often give us in these novice hurdles, although the Albert Bartlett may be a little bit different to the other two. Reading Tommy Wrong is the 6-1 favourite ahead of Dancing City at 7-1. High Class Hero 15-2. Gidley Park is 9-1. Shanna Bob 10-1. Captain Teague 11-1. Lecky Watson 12-1. Johnny Who 16-1. 20-1 bar those. Andy, take us away on the longest of the 3 novice hurdle races.
Yeah, and because of that, George, our figures are a little bit more difficult to read in a race like this, just because a lot of the numbers have been achieved over 2 miles and 2.5, and there's a lot of it is then down to sort of personal interpretation, what you think will get the extra 4 furlongs. I mean, that the Roll of Honour in the list of horses that won this tell you that it's not a race to be, going in with a strong view. 18-1, 18-1, 14-1, 50-1, 33-1, 16-1. It's a proper banana skin race because literally anything can win it. Mm. It's a survival of the fittest. You just basically want something that just keeps going. And I've watched Lecky Watson this season and he definitely falls into that category. He's not the quickest, but he just keeps galloping. He reminds me a bit of the nice guy who won it a few years ago. Not brilliant, but just keeps grinding out the fractions like Monkfish, that kind of horse.
Lecky Watson was in the champion bumper last
year. Yeah, well.
Came up very well. Yeah. The top
absolutely,
of your speed
figures. All 22 horses that are running last year's champion bumper have won. So it was a good renewal. I don't think he's done a huge amount wrong this season. He struggled first time out, huffed and puffed a bit, got the job done. But then he's been in proper deep waters on his next 2 starts. And he's run creditably behind Romy Tommy Wrong last time out, Slade Steele the time before. I mean, he's form ties in with some of the best. He's a nice each way price. I think the best horse in the race is Gidley Park. I think if we were to ask me and ask us that question of if you had to give us a horse for next year's Cheltenham Festival 2025, who would you put up? I'd say Gidley Park for next year's RSA because I think he's a raw chaser in the making. Interesting connections to come in here rather than run him in the Ballymore because he won over that trip on trials day. But I do like him. I think he's actually quite tough off the bridle. So I'd have to have a few cut on him, but I think Lecky Watson will run through a brick wall for you.
The funny one on that is, if you had a horse for this race for the future, if I had a horse for this race for the future, he wouldn't be running in this race.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a race that I actually don't think... I don't think it's necessary at Cheltenham because obviously there's the invite to your love of the festival to bring over a good novice. I have a very good record tipping horse in this race, but some of the horses I tipped, in fact, most of them that I've tipped, whether they won or didn't really train on. Monkfish ran in this race. He's had lots of problems since. This is a race where I think you go with one at a big price. And mine here, if I can actually find his name, because it's Chigorin, who's trained by Henry de Bromhead, who obviously trained Nella Indo at a similar price to win this race. He's only run a couple of times over hurdles. The last day, I really liked his performance at Fairy House when O'More Park was third. O'More Park is entering a couple of races, including this one at Cheltenham. Won subsequently very easily for Rich Ritchie and Willie Mullins. Now, I don't think he got home that day, but Chigorin absolutely bolted up. He's 40-1 If he runs, he's a serious, serious bet. If Henry de Bromhead thinks I'm going to run him this race, with that proviso, if I had a horse for the Albert Bardet, he wouldn't run the Albert Bardet.
40 to 1, best price. That is with Bet365, BetMGM, and BetUK Chigorin there for Johnny in the Albert Bartlett. Ed?
Yeah, again, this a race which can which's thrown up some massive price winners, hasn't it, in recent times. You know, Martello Town was the likes, you know. The rains.
Andy's watching the replay, he just stays.
Yeah, just the rains arrived and it just turned into a dour staying company. I kind of like Shanna Bob because he had the course form, but I wonder, he missed a bit of work and missed his, he was going to go for the River Dom, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he missed that engagement with Stone Booze or something, and then it got too close to the day to run him, and I just wonder if he's slightly undercooked. If there was a mad one in here and did end up soft, the Jukebox Man for Ben Pooling was staying on third in the Challow Hurdle, bred to just be an out-and-out stayer. Which is essentially could be exactly what you need and often is. He's not a million in this, I don't think. Obviously, the in terms of the British trainers and their novice hurdle crop, forget your Hendersons, your Nichols, Poolings number one at the moment. I think Mattella the name, mm-hmm. Handstands, the Jukebox Man, Personal Ambition. He's got some real...
Handstands,
that's right. He's got some serious horses in this division. The Jukebox Man, owned by Harry Redknapp, probably slightly different mould in the fact that he's a future Welsh national type horse. He's not a horse who's going to go around on the bridle and hit the turbo, but that's often what you need here. And I thought his Challow Hurdle run over 2.5 on heavy was pretty good staying on. Before that, he dotted up at Foss Lass in the mud. He is just an old-fashioned brute, for want of a better phrase. And if this does turn into the kind of Martello Tower kind of years, then this is the race for him. So Jukebox Man with rain. Asterix is the one, because seriously, on good ground, they probably consider whether they run him or not, I'd imagine. But if we do get a proper soft Albert Bartlett, I don't think he'd be found wanting for stamina. But anyway.
Jukebox Man 25 to 1 with Hills, 888, Coral, and a couple of other firms as well. So a few there to take into the Albert Bartlett. On to the big race of the day, arguably the week. It is, of course, the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But before we get into it, time to tell you about Odds Checker's free to play bingo game for the Cheltenham Festival. When you play the game, you'll receive a bingo card full of horses racing on each day at Cheltenham. You'll then win prizes as your horses win or place in the races. The top prize are tickets to the Grand National Festival. All you'll need to enter is an Odds Checker account, so sign up or log in and play for free. The Gold Cup now, as I said. Galopin de Champ is the 11-8 favourite. Fast or Slow, 5-1. Shishkin, 13-2. Jerry Colomb, 11-1. Lompress, 16-1. Brave Man's Game, 16-1. Gentleman's Game, 18-1. 20-1 Hewick, 22-1. Corrick Rambler, 33-1. Monkfish, the real whacker, 40-1. 50-1, bar those. And Andy, it's interesting, because normally, you know, when you have a short price favourite like we've got here, you'd probably think there isn't too much going on in behind, but this still feels like a decent renewal of the Gold Cup, with plenty of chances elsewhere, despite Galopin de Champ obviously being so impressive last year.
Couldn't agree with you more, George.
Good.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute banger of a race.
Mm. It's a deep race.
Yeah, it's a class race.
Better than last year.
I was brought up on sort of like the Grand National when I was a very young lad, sort of 5, 6, the Red Rums, you know, Lescargos of this world, and I used to absolutely adore the Grand National, still do, and that was the number one race to watch and to get excited about. But it's very much been overtaken by the Gold Cup in recent years. I absolutely love the Gold Cup. The atmosphere before the race, the crowd are crackling, the roar when they come up the hill. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. It's just an unbelievable place to be, Cheltenham, on Gold Cup Day, the Gold Cup. When you've got 70,000 people roaring their heads off, the appreciation of the horse on the way in, it is just the place to be. I can't wait for it. And this year, it's so many different sort of facets to it. You know, can Galopin de Champ repeat last year's victory? If he's in the same kind of form, there's no doubt that he'll win. But it's a strong, you know, it's a strong lineup. There's some dangerous floaters in there, like your Corrick Ramblers, your Brave Man's Games, Gentleman's Game, Lompress. I don't think at the moment he's an even money shot. I think he probably will drift out. You might even get a bit of 7-4, 2-1 of the day, or close to that. That's the way I'm feeling the market might end up going. From a bet perspective for me, if I was going to have a crack at this race, I'll probably wait for the day and wait to see what the ground's like, because I couldn't trust my selection perhaps wholeheartedly at the moment if it went the other way, and that's Brave Man's Game. He's a 16-1 shot at the moment.
I am amazed you're tipping him up. There we go. That's amazing.
Just from a pure price value perspective. I mean, you just set your clock by him, to be honest. Wherever Galopin de Champ finishes, he'll be bang there. If he's five lengths behind Galopin de Champ again, which is fairly logical, he could do that again. Then
he's the same horse he was last year.
I just think they've gone about it the wrong way. I think he should have won the Charlie Hall. He made a bad mistake at the last, which cooked his goose. He should have won that. They then got suckered into running him in at Haydock, which they shouldn't have done.
It was a balk, yeah.
He said it was a mistake, it was a balk. You can write that off. And then off the back of that, he wasn't quite the same horse in the King George as a result, in my opinion. But at least he comes here fresh, and that's the same. He's had a same campaign without the Haydock run in it. But he jumps, he stays, he loves Cheltenham. If it's not soft or heavy, I think he's bound to be there or thereabouts. So, Brave Man's Game each way, or without the favourite market on the day, will be the way I'd be approaching the Gold Cup. Johnny's totally the opposite.
When Johnny picks his chin off the floor, then I've
never disagreed with Andy at all, actually. Okay. And I've never disagreed.
What
with
was that side eye you were just giving me throughout?
I've never disagreed with him more than this. Okay. Ed is as gobsmacked.
I think I've lost my marbles.
Well, okay, he was. A well-held second in the race last year. A race that did not have Huey completing, did not have Jerry Colomb, did not have Gentleman's Game, did not have Fast or Slow, did not have Shishkin, who we haven't even mentioned. And this season being disappointing for him. I initially was kind of under the impression he was being trained for the King George. But then, as Andy says, the King George almost, he wasn't particularly maybe at his best on the day, a race that Shishkin probably would have won. And if the Gold Cup were not utterly fascinating in terms of the 2024 renewal as it was, you throw Shishkin into the mix, who genuinely has a chance. But this race has everything. As I mentioned, the horses that basically didn't run the race last year, it has a way better cast this year. For Paul Townend, I was working this out today, if you're 100-1 on to jump a fence in Cheltenham, you're about 1-4 to get around in the Gold Cup, because they've 24 fences. And I didn't work that out in my head. I did it on Google or whatever. But they've 22 fences. And if you watch the race, it's such a jumping test. If you're at Cheltenham, it's like, Jesus. And I remember back in presenting Percy in the race and thinking, this horse is just completely, he's never experienced anything like this, been ridden like he was that day to come through all these horses. And there's no way Paul Townend will ride him the same way this year, because he knows what he's done at Leopardstown. Keep him out of trouble. And he was a prisoner at Fortune last year. But he has his price. And I'm going to tip a horse up here, and I'm getting goosebumps here thinking of Mouse Morris winning the race again, because I love Mouse. He's from same county as me. He's a great character. And Gentleman's Game, he's had three runs over fences. What am I doing here? He's had three runs over fences. But the upside to him, he's had, as Mouse said, he's had growing pains. He's massive. He didn't run him at Leopardstown because he thought it was too close to Cheltenham, even though it was sort of, four and a half weeks. And he said, if anything goes wrong at Leopardstown, I won't have enough time with this horse. Darragh O'Keefe is raving about him. His performance in the Charlie Hall for me was really, really taking, because as much as Andy said, maybe he shouldn't have won at the race if Brave Man's Game jumps to last, he wasn't great as the second last. He's actually powering away from him on the run-in. Warmed up for that over 2.5 miles, which is inadequate. And his only other run over fences, he smashed Ian Maximus at Leopardstown on his chase debut. He's trained for the race by Mouse. He's very, very happy with them. Darragh O'Keefe is raving about him. I think he's 25s. He can be ridden anyway. The ground won't matter to him. What can possibly go wrong? I'd be more gobsmacked if Andy's right on this than if Ed were right on Sir Gerhard.
Well, they are very similar horses off that Weatherby run, aren't they?
Yes, in all fairness, but he's had, that was his third chase start.
But he's never been around Cheltenham.
He's never been around
Cheltenham. Whereas Braveman's Game could be, he could go around there blindfolded.
Yeah, I'd be completely the opposite ending this. Like, one has Cheltenham form, one hasn't won there, one has upside because he's going to love Cheltenham, will love the hill, one is thoroughly exposed. It'd be an interesting match,
but
Coniglio won the Gold Cup on his fourth chase
running.
Start.
Laid him in running.
Fourth chase start, didn't he?
Yeah. I like him.
There we go. Yeah. Laid him in running for the leaf.
I should say, Gentleman's Game is 18-1 best price now, so you're not getting 25s. Okay. But that's with Betway. 16-1 pretty much across the board.
That's an even money match bet. Two different types. We'll have an even point on that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Ed?
I think Shishkin wins the Gold Cup. That's
right. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
So we're putting up 16s, 20s, 25s.
I think this is a much deeper race than last year. That's my overall. Fast or slow is a player. I wonder if Ferry Colomb, the new Don Slowly, is perhaps slightly been forgotten. I think he will get a lot closer to the favourite on the new course over 3.25 miles and probably wasn't quite right last time out. I think he's a player. I think the real Wacko Goff at the head of affairs, this will be running a real lick. I'm in the minority in a sense that a lot of people aren't convinced Shishkin will stay. In fact, I think that will only enhance him. I remember vividly, as you said on this preview show last year, they should have gone for the Gold Cup last year.
Yeah.
And I thought he was taken off his feet in the Ryanair and did it amazing given how he ploughed through three fences. Yeah. And stayed on up the hill, that he was still there at the end.
He just ran on unconscious last year.
I think this will suit him. I think he may have a couple of sketchy leaps. He doesn't do anything with any great aesthetic.
Doesn't always jump off.
He's a little bit awkward, but I like horses like this going over a trip. And that I think he's saving a lot for himself. You know, you remember when he toughed it out in the Supreme against Abracadabra and Chantry House. You know, he got there on the line. Everything looks hard work, but I like that. He's just always more under the bonnet. And I think there's a lot to come going 3.25 miles here. I actually would like this to be soft ground and turn into a, come on then, Galopin, let's have a punch up, you know.
Can you imagine commentating on this race? All of the things that are going on.
I think it's going to be hard, but it's going to be brilliant. I think it's going to be run at a clip. I know, as I say, I actually think he will improve at his age. I think there's every chance he can run a career best over this trip.
He's unexposed at the trip.
He's totally unexposed, and he's still very lightly raced through the kind of issues he's had. He's a little bit of an aura to himself, but we turn into the home straight. Shishkin's there or thereabouts, so I'd be going absolutely potty.
There's a sprinter sacra element to it as well. He's coming back from, you know, he's had his issues.
He's trained by genius. He's my biggest winner on the Friday by far. I'm obviously speaking through my pocket, but the reason why I'm speaking through my pocket is because I think he could easily win the Gold Cup. You see what I'm saying? So it's chicken and the egg. I just think 3.25 miles, Charlton will suit him. Total respect Galopin. If he turns up in the form he did two starts ago, just hand him the trophy now. But I think there's a lot deeper race this year around. I think there are lots of horses who can really get it in. And this is the race of the week by a country mile. Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely buzzing. It'll be the one where I'm not watching the Antiques Roadshow next year. I'll be watching replays of this Gold Cup no matter what happens.
What would you say? What's the basic better best in this field? That's an Antiques Roadshow gag.
That is cool. Right, I'm gonna. Well, should we do one, two, threes then for the Gold Cup?
Right. We have done.
Yeah, cool.
We have. Like,
no. Right. Each individual. I'll go Shishkin, Galopin, Jerry Colomb. 1, 2, 3.
I will go Gentleman's Game, Galopin Deschamps, and then Jerry Colomb.
Andy.
I think Brave Man's Game will be in the three, so I'll probably have him. I'll have him second in. I'll go the same as last year. Galopin Deschamps, Brave Man's Game, and Fast or Slow.
Good stuff. So that is the Gold Cup preview there. And now on to the big one, the Hunter's Chase. Next up, a lot of people heading to their taxis or buses after the Gold Cup on a Friday. But it's on the line as the 5-2 favourite in the Hunter's Chase. Ferns Lock is 3-1. Premier Magic 7-1. Billaway 7-1. Sam Crow 12-1. Vauxhallet 14-1. 16-1 bar those. Andy, any view on the Hunter's Chase?
Not a strong one, but I was taken with a horse that won at Wetherby last time out. One of Fiona Needham's scene nominee.
Yeah.
He ran at, just checking it is a he, not a she, before I completely put my foot in. It is a mare, I thought it was. She ran at Cheltenham last season on Hunter Chase night and ran a really nice race, but she's improved significantly since, as far as I could see. She beat an old stage called Benny's King. I think Benny's King's quite a difficult horse to pass sometimes when he's on song, as he proved the other day at Leicester. He went off in front and absolutely bolted up. And Benny's King made the running that day at Wetherby. And this is a nominee, come there, see if he'd have just joined in and absolutely battered it. So I think she'll run a good race here. I don't know where she stands in the pecking order of point to point strike Hunter Chase, because I don't know these horses and numbers that we keep. You've got horses parachuting in from Irish races and stuff like that. So they're very, very difficult to read. Obviously, you'd have to respect It's On The Line, who grounded out the other day at Nace. Premier Magic, obviously, he's another one who won the race last year. He looks as though he's got his campaign absolutely spot on again. But yeah, there's something about that Sin nominee that quite impressed me the other day.
Yeah, Sin nominee, 16 to 1 there, yeah. 365, and a couple of other firms as well. Johnny, any of you?
I'll be at the bar. One of us will have won the pint at that stage. You know, yeah. that match bet. I'd be parachuted out of the country after laying both Sir Gerhard and Brave Man's game.
How are you going to afford the parachute?
I'll be tipping up JP for money because now he owns. It's on the line here. Mm. The race at NASA last year was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen. Billaway was about 3 years down, jumping the last. Ended up being probably a 101 shot upside.
Yeah, he looked like he was gonna win.
It was like, just couldn't get up. I was like, what are you doing? It's on the line. Like, you should be out on your feet. And then he found another gear. So him and Billaway, because Billaway loves this. He loves staying on in his races. He fell in the race last year. And then you add in, obviously, the David Christie angle. David Christie hoping for his first Cheltenham winner. Deliberately didn't run Ferns Loch in this race last year because he thought he was too young, and Vosley was his horse, who'd been disappointing. Vosley's been turned over 6 times now in succession, and I still wouldn't rule him out here because of what they thought from last year. I'm narrowly with it. It's on the line. It's actually a cracking renewal of the race. And keep an eye out for Paul Nicholls' horse well, who fell in the race last year and was sent off a big price. Secret Investor is not out of it either.
Secret Investor 25 to 1 best price with a few firms, 365 Skybet, Hills amongst them. It's on the line, it's 5-2, but that 5-2 is going. It's blue on odds checker, it's short, it's 15-8 in places. You have to go to 365 Bet Victor or Coral at the time of recording to get it. Ed?
Absolutely no view.
Cool.
No.
On to the Mayor's Chase now. And Andy, will come to you first because you had a nice touch here last year.
Yep.
Dino Blue is the even money favourite here with Allegri de Vassi 4-1, Limerick Lace 5-1, Bride's Hill 8-1, and then a big jump out to 20-1 bar. The rest, lovely each way shape to this is what I'm seeing. But Andy?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, manna from heaven for me, this race. Yeah, last year, cast your mind back. It looked as though Allegri de Vassi had got in safe keeping and then Impervious got me out of jail, staying on too strong. I think that's the thing with Allegri de Vassi, probably the most talented mare in the race, but does she really get this trip, particularly if it's going to be on the soft side? They have had a tinker around with a wind, I think, before she won last time out, and that enabled her to perform a little bit better. But maybe she might just be a 2-miler, and even though she can breathe a bit better now, the 2.5 still might just stretch her. We don't know whether Dino Blue will definitely get the trip. But there's a lot of guesswork involved in that. She's obviously very talented, but at 10 to 11, I want all my ducks in a row at that kind of price. I think if she runs here and she's entered in the National, I'm not sure she'll get 4 miles, but Limerick Lace... She's massively underestimated. I've always had a massive soft spot for her. I did a column for Odds Checker early on the season. She was one of my 10 horses to follow, the written version. And I think this is ideal for her. You know, stiff 2.5 miles around Cheltenham. She jumps, she travels, she stays. I mean, she should have won the Troy Town early on in the season.
She ran into one in Cocoa
but
Beach.
Just ran into Cocoa Beach, yeah. Mm. But she was miles clear of the rest. She bolted up at Doncaster the other day. I really like her. I'm just hopeful that Gavin Cromwell runs her along with the other mare that he's got, Bride Hill, and she's not out of it either. But she's guaranteed to stay, whereas the other two aren't, and she's like 5-1. So if she does run, I think she's a really good each-way bet in summary.
Walk in the Park, I think, is a 25 grand stallion, which is incredible money for a National Hunt stallion. And I would argue he's had mixed results. Obviously, Duvan and Min came around at the same time, and everyone's like, who's this Walk in the Park? Bring him over to Coolmore, brought him over. JP McManus sent every mare under the sun to him, including Sway, who is from that family that Andy was on about earlier. I know the way you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking. This is one mare. A lot of them have been very disappointing for JP. Average handicappers. This is one that is working out, Limerick Lace. She's very good. And the whole line from the Cromwell Yard is the ground is going to depend. The ground is going to dictate which of the two finish ahead of each other here, Limerick Lace or Bride's Hill.
That one's good ground. There's no nice ground.
Who's by Dylan Thomas and apparently works better than anything's at Gavin.
Gavin Cromwell said, sun comes out, Bride's Hill, Limerick Lace if we've got proper winter ground.
I'm mad against Dino Blue here because I think there's definitely a concern about the trip. She's even money. I've been kind of against her in patches throughout the year and have generally been wrong. Obviously, the last year she was put in her place. Prior to that, the race was literally made for her the way that Gentleman Demi ran at Leopardstown. There were a couple of, like, was a Captain Guinness in behind, some real disappointments. I'm not sure she deserves to be anywhere near this price. Massive plus for Allegory Gavassi's well-being. I actually thought she got one of the rides of the season from Paul Townend at Nace, the way he managed her on the day. She's not straightforward. And I contradict myself here. I think these mares races are a load of rubbish. This is actually quite a good race.
Mares Novice Hurdle's amazing, and this is a really good race too, isn't it?
They should be. I love the mares race, actually.
That's why I keep them on edge.
If it's on good to soft, I'm not sure about that now if it is, but Bride's Hill is going to run well. I'm going to back one of the Cromwell runners here, depending on the ground. That's basically it.
Ed?
My lay of the festival, Dino Blue. Well, at the price at the moment. She goes off 7-4, and then I'm backing her. Facts, not hearsay, is she's been a favourite at the Cheltenham Festival twice. She's a bit of a heavy top mare. She jumped a pool, never really travelled when beating the distance, when sent off favourite for the Mares Novice last year. Yes, she ran well. And ran her up in the Grand Annual to Muscada. But again, facts are, she was beaten off 140. She can be a bit keen. I know Willie's like, he's trying to give the preview circuit kind of, 2.5, no problem. The fact he references it to me says he has got a problem with it, otherwise you wouldn't bring it up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she'll get home. I think this is quite a deep race. And ground dependent, but Bride's Hill really has clicked over fences. I know flat track, Huntingdon, decent ground, all that last time out, but crikey. I mean, Pink Legend's not a mug. He won the race last year, the year before for Venetia, and she fell, but she couldn't go to gallop. This Bride's Hill just whizzed round her. Really good jumper. Limerick Lace, the stayer who get three in heavy, I think, stood on her head. So a bit of a ground dependent race, but I just think Bride's Hill is a wonderful jumper. And I think Dino Blue's got a lot on her plate, essentially. So I'm against Dino Blue. I might even look the place layer, depending on the prices. And what the ground's doing. And I think Bride's Hill each way, cracking. But
Bride's Hill, 8-1. That's with Hills, 888 Sport, Coral, BetMGM and a couple of others. Limerick Lace for Andy, 5-1 with Hills, 888 Sport, BetMGM and Bet UK. Final race we're going to cover, final race of the whole festival is the Martin Pipe, where Kayla Bourbon is the 4-1 favourite ahead of Samajest at 6-1. Liz Nagar Fortune and Waterford Whispers and No Ordinary Joe, all 10-1. Donny the Great, 14s. Lucky Place, 14s. I mean, again, a bit of guesswork going into this. We're recording this on Thursday, early afternoon. So we don't know who's going to get in or who's going to run beyond probably those towards the top end of the market. Johnny, any in the notebook or any that you backed?
It's really competitive. And in fairness to the system, this is a race that I think it has its place because it's for conditional riders and it's a massive springboard for their careers. Quite a Bourbon. I spoke about trying to keep the lightly raced horses out. It's very, very interesting. Just at the moment, I'm going to go with a horse that kind of he's been there, done that, but No Ordinary Joe. I'm still not sure how he didn't win the race last year, the way he travelled to the last, outdone by obviously Oroco, who you're hoping has backed the form at this stage. How the horse has managed to be 1 pound higher after the way he travelled in the race last year, clearly been laid out for this. He's going to run well, but he is taking on some lightly raced horses.
Ed?
Well, I mentioned him earlier in dispatches, Encanto Bruno. Yeah. I think Gavin Cromwell said if the ground's soft, we'll go county. If it dries up, Martin Pipe. I think 2.5, good ground. That's his bag. He won over 2.5 on Sound Surface back at, I think it was the October meeting. He's got some nice gears on spring ground this horse, and it's not going to be rattling. But the point is, if it doesn't rain all week, you're going to get the best ground on the Friday. And I actually think 2.5 will really suit him. So, yeah, again, another if they run. But Encanto Bruno lines up in this, definitely be in with an each way shout here for a horse with good Cheltenham course form.
And if that fails, Andy, you'll have something for Dundalk.
18-1, Bet365 for Encanto Bruno. Andy, take us out.
Yeah, it's always a long drive home after the last race at Cheltenham.
Not for me, is it?
No. lamenting on what could have been, the sort of successes you've had and the failures and the near misses and the fallers and what have you.
Can all pile around mine and watch Dundalk, can't we?
It's a long 2.5 mile drive, particularly on a Friday night as well in the traffic. It's not pretty. I have to go through Spaghetti Junction area in Birmingham. But anyway, that aside, it'll be an even longer drive home for me. I normally actually leave the last race and go home after the mayor's race, but I'm going to stick around this because my best bet of the meeting runs in this.
Now this is what I like.
Here we go.
He needs quite a few to come out. He's number 50 on the race card at the moment, but the day when this horse ran at Fairy House.
You were just watching him, actually.
I was mightily impressed. And then when we got the figures through and I did the section of the numbers, I thought, God, this is a fair horse. This is a graded horse. This is in the making. Waterford Whispers.
Mm, yeah. So it's named after this kind of parody news account in Ireland. It's exceptionally funny.
Yeah.
And again, he's named it after a good one.
It's his only entry at the festival, isn't it?
It's his only entry at the festival.
Yeah. Will he get in, Andy?
Well, I think he probably...
He's 26 to come out.
I think he's almost certain to get in. There's going to be loads of defectors. It's interesting as well that the anti-post favourite, Sam Majest, who's down to about 4 or 5 to 1, looks like running elsewhere. There's been a big drift on that. Might not even run at all. And this will be JP's, hopefully, number one representative he gets in. But there's loads of doubly declared horses. Mm. And they're almost certain to run the Pertemps, the Cold Cup and other races. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. He got beat last time out at Leopardstown, but I don't think they were that fussed about getting beat that day, if I put it like that. It was a race where one of Pat Fahey's made the run in and it was a crawl of a race, and then they just basically kicked off the corner and he just got outpaced. But he just wants an end-to-end gallop, this fella. I actually wrote in my notes that day, the boys' race at Cheltenham. He just looked that type of horse.
And this form being Answer to
Cave. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I think Answer to Cave's a play as well. John Chinnick will ride him, so he knows the horse really well. But Answer to Cave is a good horse. He might even
go for a grade one.
Yeah, yeah. He's that good, Answer to Cave, and he absolutely battered him that day.
I tipped Answer to Cave that day because I've been at Limerick when he won his maiden hurdle, and I was so happy, and this horse just zooms by.
He should have won the time before Answer to Cave. The time after, he ran at Limerick, and it was a bit of a balls of a ride. But this Waterford Whispers, I'll be shocked to the core if he's not better than 133 further down the line. Obviously, there's going to be 24 runners you need looking, running, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I'm super, super excited about him. He's my biggest winner of the week.
Everyone's like, Andy, why aren't you gone home? This is the last race.
I will be actually partly on the way home. I'll be watching this race underneath the big screen on the way out.
And then if Waterford Whispers doesn't win, you go to the car. If Waterford Whispers wins,
I'll be
watching Dundalk around my house.
I'll
actually in for that.
I'll sacrifice getting stuck in the traffic on the way home if this horse wins.
Yeah. Can you imagine that the four of us all at Ed's Gaff after Cheltenham to watch Dundalk with a couple of beers?
That's sensational.
That would be, oh, Why haven't we done that before?
Absolutely.
Gogglebox.
Everyone. Nicky has been invited. Gogglebox. Gogglebox watching Dundalk at the last eight children.
Yeah. Oh, we digress.
Well, those who've managed to watch right until the end of the fourth show have had the payoff they've needed or required with Andy's nap of the meeting there, Waterford Whispers, in the final race in the Martin Pipe at 10 to 1, which is pretty much there with every firm apart from 7 to 1, as short as with Paddy Power and the Betfair Sportsbook. Thank you very much to Ed, to Andy, for joining not just for this show, but for sharing their thoughts and their tips and their insight in all four shows ahead of the 2024 Cheltenham Festival. I think we've done pretty well in finding some value, certainly some great picks, and we'll see how the horses run and hopefully some winners in there as well. Enjoy the festival. Make sure you download the Odds Checker app for all of your betting needs ahead of it. Best prices, best bookie offers, free bets, all the best place terms you can find. And Andy's tips will be straight there. Waterford Whispers, I'm sure, will feature. Let's see what price he is when we actually get to the day before the race. But enjoy the racing. Promises to be a brilliant week. Please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly.